the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Very creative, Scott Eckersley.
Is that the Duke fight song in the front end?
Fight song magic there, yeah. Segue from one to a better one. Very happy to welcome in our next guest, a guy who made a major contribution before the national championship game, but never will be forgotten by Michigan State fans for his role in that Florida game, and that is Mike Chappell. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Just fine. Well, bring us up to speed on what you have been doing. We know that you play a lot of basketball overseas, but tell us what you're doing now.
Well, actually, I'm getting ready and starting my 10th season. I'm headed back to Tokyo, Japan, to play in the BJ League with Tokyo Apache. I've been married for about 3 years. I have a 5-year-old son, and I'm expecting a baby girl in September. So I've been pretty busy.
Hey, Tom, Mike Chappell, one of the most intelligent players Michigan State has ever had.
I went to Duke. You got to be smart.
is that what it means?
Thanks, I appreciate it.
But, you know, when he came to Michigan State, a lot of people wondered how things would work out here. He'd been at Duke, came to Michigan State, and the other players said they love this guy. He came in and fit right in, and then talk about fitting in. When Mateen Cleaves went down with that ankle injury, you know, everyone...
You're talking about in the Florida game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he gets an inside basket, a tough basket, and then he hits that shot.
From the corner, I remember that one.
No.
Wasn't there a shot from the corner?
It's the top.
Top of key?
Yeah. And when that ball went in, I turned to Larry Lage, who was sitting next to me. We were sitting right next to the CBS crew, and I said, this is over. And then, of course, Cleaves comes back in.
What was the lead when you said this is over?
What was it, about 6 or 7 points?
Yeah, it was about 6 or 7.
Yeah, something like that. But, I mean, you know, Florida had been cutting into it a little bit here and there, and then when you see Cleaves hobble out and, you know, tell Izzo that he thinks his ankle's broken, you don't expect him to come back on the court, but it didn't stop the guys who were in there.
Hey, Mike, I never found it. Why did you go from Duke to Michigan State?
Well, Michigan State was actually my first choice out of high school. You know, I was a big Steve Smith fan. You know, I emulated a lot of my game. He was always my favorite NBA player. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you know, the recruiting thing kind of got into high gear, and I'm 18 years old, and at the time, it just seemed like, you know, I'm sitting across from Coach K, and he's talking about the Final Fours and Nike and being on TV, and I think that was around, you know, Izzo's first year. I knew Izzo was going to turn the program around, but
how'd you know that?
It was just something about the way, you know, his tenacity, and you could tell even in the recruiting process. It was just a matter of when. It was just a matter of when he was going to do it. So
okay, so you go down to Duke. You're at Duke, which is the pinnacle. I mean, when I think of, you know, the top program in college basketball, obviously Duke has got to be one or two, whatever. I mean, what happened there that made you send your direction northbound to East Lansing?
Well, you know, in the back of my mind, I've always been a Michigan guy. You know, even after school, I'm back home in Detroit in my summer. So Michigan is near and dear to me. I have a lot of family here. And for me, I enjoyed my time at Duke. I made a lot of good, good relationships even to this day. But it felt like something was missing, and when the basketball thing kind of turned on me, you know, I thought, you know, it was time to head home.
I know you've been asked this question a ton, and I don't expect you to disparage anyone, but can you compare Mike Krzyzewski and Tom Izzo in terms of style and the way they were to play for?
You know what? I can compare them because they're both, you know, very dedicated to their programs. You know, their work ethic is tireless, and you know, the amount of energy and what they put into their players is second to none. I think where they differ is Coach is, you know, everybody sees he wears his emotions, you know, on his sleeve, you know, and I think Coach K is a little bit more reserved from that aspect.
All right. We're talking with former Michigan State contributor to a national championship team, Mike Chappell. And, Mike, talk a little bit about playing overseas, if you would, the opportunities that are there. And a lot of people think, well, guy didn't make it in the NBA. You know, that's the end of basketball for him. Couldn't be further from the truth.
Oh, no. And, you know, the world is so small. And pretty much any developed country you can think of, they have a basketball league in some shape or form. So the opportunities to play, you know, abound. I've been very fortunate. You know, I've always loved traveling, seeing different things, you know, seeing different parts of the world. And it was really a good fit for me. I've got a chance to play in Asia, Middle East, Europe, Eastern Europe, New Zealand, Australia, and these are opportunities probably that I wouldn't have been afforded to, you know, had I not played basketball. So basketball's really been good to me and my family.
Mike, you know, Jack was talking about 10 years of professional basketball I've been playing. How's your body holding up? I mean, year to year, is it more difficult bouncing back from nagging injuries and obviously the conditioning aspect, if you could talk about that?
Well, it gets a little tougher, but I've been blessed. You know, I haven't had any serious injuries or any surgeries. So, you know, from that standpoint, you know, I've been extremely fortunate. But, I mean, I would be lying if I didn't say it got tougher, you know, every year. But like I said, my body's holding up pretty well. So, but I'm not going to, you know, fool myself. I'm getting closer to the end of my career versus, you know, the beginning. So.
And then what happens next after your basketball is done with?
Oh, I transition. You know, I'm looking forward to, you know, joining the workforce and the work world, you know. Like I said, basketball's been good to me, but, you know, it was only a phase of my life. And I've been pretty realistic about that, and I'm looking forward to my next phase.
Well, some company's going to be very fortunate when he's done with basketball if they can add him to the staff. Mike, in terms of what people do not know about the overseas experience and language difficulties, cultural changes, what would surprise people in the United States the most?
I think the overall enthusiasm towards the sport of basketball, mm-hmm. and how much people really relate and identify with the NBA. I mean, it's surprising. You go, you can be in Japan, you'll see Kobe Bryant jerseys or people talking about LeBron or what LeBron is going to do or who's the better player, Kobe or LeBron. And I mean, I think, you know, with the communication age, the world's really shrunk. But, I mean, it's still surprising to see how much people really follow what's going on in U.S. sports.
And then how long are you over there? Are you over there the entire time, or do you come back for the States after your season is over with?
Well, most seasons, most leagues run anywhere from 6 to 9 months. So I spend
That's a long. Don't you miss being the good old USA on occasion?
Oh yeah, but I take my family with me, so I have the best of both worlds. I have the best of both worlds. So, you know, I spend anywhere from 6 to 9 months abroad, and then I return home for what amounts to the summer. Any, you know, from six to about 3 months.
We're talking with former Duke Blue Devil and Michigan State Spartan Mike Chappelle. Mike, in terms of the opportunities there, are most of these teams run through companies, businesses, towns? How are they set up, and how many games a week do you play? You're not playing a regular NBA schedule, certainly.
Well, I think it all depends on the area of the world you are. I know some South American countries play anywhere from three to four games a week. In Japan, we play two games a week. We usually play Saturday and Sunday back-to-back. And last year, it was a 50-game schedule. I think they upped it to maybe 55 games.
And are there limits to the number of Americans who can play?
In Japan, it's actually unlimited. I think the team, Tokyo, we have 4 Americans at the moment, and they're looking at maybe adding a fifth. But they have certain restrictions. Only 3 Americans can be on the court at one time. And that, I think they do that so that the local players can take part and be major contributors to the team also. But,
and then fellow college basketball players that you maybe have gone head-to-head with in the collegiate ranks?
Oh, definitely. Throughout my career, I've played against David Thomas pretty regularly down in Australia. Mm-hmm. I was teammates with Adam Ballinger and played against him also.
Okay.
Gerard Ward, I played against him, and, you know, he was at Michigan. I played against him in Japan. It's kind of weird. You run across different guys. The longer you play, you run across them abroad.
If you were to give some advice, Mike, to a guy who had the NBA dream, as I'm sure most college basketball players do, they don't set out and say, well, I really want to play in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell him? What would be the most important thing that he could know?
Don't sell yourself short. I mean, of course, the NBA is the pinnacle for everybody. But
right.
you know, don't feel like, you know, your career is a failure if for whatever reason you don't realize that dream.
And Charlie Bell, there have been others who have come back after playing overseas.
That's a transition.
It's definitely the opportunity is there. But, you know, you can broaden your experience, you know, just life experience, you know, of traveling, making a living abroad, you know, sampling different languages and different cultures. I mean, I think that's priceless.
Mike, have you ever thought about coaching? I always thought you could do that.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I've spent some time thinking about it, but at this point I'm not sure if that's exactly the direction I want to head in.
Okay. Mike Chappelle, our guest on the Jack and Tom Show, and when we did the book Green Glory, talking about all the championship teams in Michigan State, we had a bunch of guys come and do book signings and things, and Mike was one of the guys who always stuck around the longest, and people could relate to him. They'd come up and talk to him, and they left, and I never heard anyone say anything except, "Boy, what a nice guy." And he's done very, very well for himself since leaving Michigan State. He's not done yet. He's still going to try to play a little bit longer. And, Mike, we'll see you maybe down the road. We'll see you at a Michigan State game at some point.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Now, you know, I want to thank you guys for having me on.
We will be right back with more. We're going to have open line for the next few minutes. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.